Welcome to Therapy in 10, where Darcy and Hannah combine both their lived and professional experience to bring you a fresh take on mental health, tackling tough questions in just 10 minutes. Each episode is chock full of stories that will make you cry, laugh, and restore your faith. We're so glad you're here. Hey everyone, welcome back to Therapy in 10. I'm Hannah and I'm here with my friend Darcy.
Hey guys, so glad you joined us again.
Yeah, so today is episode 9 of our season 3, Faithful Yet Struggling. And today's episode is titled Faithful Yet Depressed. So we're going to talk about what it looks like to be faithful even when we are feeling depressed, or maybe even more than just feeling depressed, when we are clinically depressed. So Darcy wrote an article about this on ibelieve.com. So she is going to take the lead today.
Right. So when you mentioned, you know, what does it look like to be faithful and even when we are depressed, I immediately think, you know, obviously it can look either way. Our faith can look so much more pronounced and apparent when we are in despair, or we can choose to stuff it down and turn away because of, you know, resentment and just being in that mood, you know, that depressed mood that we're in. So close to a year ago, like you said, I wrote an article titled, Does God Still Love Me When I'm Depressed? And I had several people reach out because it must have struck a chord with them. And I think when we think of Christians, we have some big misconceptions. And one of those being you have to display, you know, a pleasant, happy, maybe bubbly personality all the time. Or you look a certain way, or you can hit rock bottom and still loudly pronounce your faith. And while it would certainly be wonderful to be this kind of rock of faith all of the time, we all have our days and our weaknesses and our struggles in this life that don't hit par. You know, you've literally got Peter, who is coined the rock of the church, and he denied Jesus 3 times and made that rooster crow. So yes, Jesus loves you regardless of depression or your sins or your circumstances. You know, when I was in the confinement of depression, I call it confinement because it felt like, you know, it feels like prison. I felt forgotten, left behind, unloved, amongst a million other confusing emotions that were all fighting for my attention. And sometimes depression, you know, it felt like a punishment to me, and I couldn't pinpoint what I did to deserve the conviction or the accompanying sentence that went along with it. And I know I'm not alone in these defeating feelings. So that is why we're here talking about how even the most faithful can be depressed. Look at Charles Spurgeon. He's known as the Prince of Preachers and yet lived most of his life depressed. They believe that he was clinically depressed now, that we have some of those medical terms to coin it. But I found something interesting in a devotion written by his wife, and it said that she suffered greatly with poor health for 25 years. So I've got to think that maybe some of his depression was circumstantial, you know, watching his wife suffer. But you know, despite his downer moods, as I like to put it, Charles Spurgeon has made a huge impact for the kingdom of God, especially post-mortem. Mm-hmm. Now, friend, I'm going to answer that question that I posed in my article again for you. Does God still love you when you're depressed? And that is a resounding yes. You really don't have to dig far into the Bible to see the evidence of the many ways he loves us unconditionally. Me and Hannah talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. The Bible is not, you know, shy on the hard stuff. It's there so we can relate. You know, the word demonstrates the immeasurable length of God's love for you. It also shows his love for us by including the hard stories. So we wouldn't be able to understand the countless ways he loves us if we couldn't relate to the people of the Bible and the trials that they faced. You know, after all, the crux of our redemption resulted from the Father making the most difficult decision imaginable. When in John 3:16, he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." So Hannah, I don't know if you know, for me, always the Psalms are obviously the ones, especially that we believe David wrote, are usually ones that go from highs to lows, and you can see, you know, these lengthy stretches of depression that it looks like King David went through. But when you look at King David in his life, he beautifully orchestrates deep sorrow and joy into the poetic prose of the Psalms. We witness in one point at David at the end of his rope in Psalm 6, "I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch drench my couch with tears. I mean, guys, can you relate to those? What? You know, I can count more nights of crying than I care to remember, you know, where that pillow is wet and sleep seems to evade us. You know, but despite this seeming like this shawl of sorrow, this burden of sorrow that David wears on his shoulders, he is highly favored, and God calls him a man after his own heart, in 1 Samuel 13, 14. And if I could think of another example, and I'm only sharing these examples with you on the Bible because I want you to know that being a faithful person, like I said, doesn't come with a prescribed personality, and it doesn't us always have to display joy and happiness. I want us to fight for that stuff, but sometimes in some parts of our life, and you know, we go through our stages of grieving, you know, our sad stages, and sometimes a lot of this is chemical issues that we might have in our brain, you know, something genetic. But I just want to share another example. If you haven't heard of Job, it's, you know, spelled like Job. I think for a while I mispronounced it. But the book of Job, you know, this was a man that was deeply loved by God. His life is a prime example, that an elated or joyous mood is not an indicator of faith. Job was actually a man who was blameless and upright, feared God, and turned away from evil, according to Job 1:1. He suffered, though, at the hands of Satan as God allowed Job to be tested. He lost his children, property, livelihood, and then his health. His friends blamed him for his plight, and his wife told him to curse God and die. Job's relentless experiences threw him into the depths of depression, and rightly so. He was not shy with his words of lamentation, and his grief and his mourning burns as bright as the North Star as his shattered heart bleeds throughout the pages of 42 chapters. Job cursed the day he was born, but never turned his back on God, knowing God was always and still is in control. And God eventually restored Job's fortunes twofold and blessed the latter part of his life more than the beginning. I once heard a sermon on the book of Job that said lamentation is a sign of significant faith. And he said, after all, who are you lamenting to? And the thing about passionately expressing your grievances in the form of unfiltered anger, pain, and confusion to the Lord is proof that we know he exists and that he cares about our sorrows, even when we don't understand his plan. We all long to feel seen and heard by the Almighty, especially in our darkest days. And we should use the solitude of the dark to cry out for him. You know, the stillness of the dark makes it a perfect place to hear the Lord. I know for a fact, drawing from my experiences, that my darkest days were some of the brightest light shining days, I guess I could say, some of the days that I felt his presence the most. And you know, like Job and King David, we all find ourselves drowning in circumstances beyond our control at times. You know, the kind of situations that have you drenching your pillow with tears all night, or ruminating on the purpose of your very existence. You know, although there's a significant gap in time and a vast difference in scenery and customs, the emotions of the biblical characters stand relatable throughout the ages. So I encourage you know, to read the word, even if it's just a verse a day. And let God speak to your heart through it, you know, whether it's undesirable circumstances, like I said, unfortunate genetics that we they that might be causing our depression, or a combination of the two at the root of your, you know, unrelenting depression. This does not influence the magnitude of God's love for you. So you do not petals off of a daisy to determine whether he loves you or not based on your changing mood. Our God does not change, nor the way that he loves you changes, and that is written in Hebrews 13:8. And guys, I've already answered that question, but I just want to reiterate it. You know, God loves you regardless. But we still want you to experience happiness in this life. Everybody wants to experience happiness and joy. Actually, I get to talk about it on the radio in a couple of days about holding on to joy, especially when things get hard. And I know personally when depression knocks on my door, I mean, I've had a rough couple less rough More than a couple now, rough 3 months, last 3 months, guys. But I was determined. I'm very determined now. Give it a day or two to kind of mourn now, right now. And then I send that depression packing the best I can. Because when I'm down, when I am depressed like that, everything else is harder for me. Everything else is amplified. I feel like I'm attacked more, and I'm just susceptible to losing, to losing some faith and trust and doubting in those days. So Hannah, she's about to talk about a few ways to help us improve our mood, to kind of, move past, move through depression and move on to better days. So Hannah, help us out here.
Yeah, well, before I jump into that, first, I just want to say and just kind of reiterate all the things you're saying. Just like depression is so hard. I mean, like not, and I want to preface everything that I'm about to say with that knowledge of saying, A, I know that it is. Personally, I've been there. Professionally, I know. I mean, this is something that is woven into most days of my life, whether it is, my own personal experiences, someone I know, or someone that I'm working with. Like, this is something that's very close to me in my life. But, a little while back, not that long ago, we had Easter, right? And so one of the things that I was really pondering on Good Friday actually was what Darcy is talking about with the Bible not shying away from these hard emotions. And I had posted something on my site that kind of the Lord laid on my heart, and it was that Good Friday was a day full of devastation, grief, confusion, disbelief, pain, loss. Those feelings lasted for days. God wasn't like, oh, well, this is really sad, but don't worry, like it'll be over in 30 seconds. Like the disciples and all the other followers of Christ at that time, like sometimes I just really like sit and try to imagine the despair that they were feeling. Like they had waited their entire lives for the Messiah. They had heard hundreds of years of prophecies. They were waiting, and finally he came. And I'm sure that there were a lot of people when he died, because the Bible talks about how like they didn't really, even though Jesus had said that he would die and rise again, like there's scripture that talks about how like even in their hearts they didn't really fully understand that. And so like, it's like I think sometimes we can read it now after the fact and be like, well, why are you so sad? Like, he's gonna rise again. But like obviously, like their hearts and minds did not. They did not fully understand and grasp at that time, like what was happening. So, like the Good Friday and the fact that like all of those hard, just difficult emotions happened and were real, this proves and shows us that there is space for our difficult emotions before Almighty God. He is not made uncomfortable or disappointed by our deep hurt and our tears. And those, and like Darcy said, feeling those deep, hard emotions and struggling through difficult times also does not mean that we are weak or have a lack of faith. Jesus wept and experienced agony before God the Father in the face of his impending suffering before he went to the cross. Our feelings matter to God. He sees them, he hears them, and we can sit still in his embrace without feeling the need to hurry through the hurt. So, I mean, that's just reiterating everything that Darcy said, but it's like it's so true. Like, we don't have to feel ashamed. I mean, I've actually even heard even people like, in recent times talk about how like, not necessarily feeling depression is like a sin, but that like almost like if you claim that you're depressed or whatever, then you're giving the devil a foothold, and you're just you need to just claim victory and just like move past that. And like kind of like when we've said this several in past episodes, just like that, well, if you would just pray harder, it would go away. And it's just like that's not scriptural, it's not biblical. So
Yeah. I
yeah,
loved
that's
your
just
accent there when you were when you had a very like country accent when you were imitating what somebody would say.
which, oh yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe that's just kind of goes to show you that sometimes, a lot of times, it is, people who think a certain way, or maybe they don't know any better, but, again, it's read your Bibles. That's what we're talking about. So, I just wanted to say that, like, there have been moments and periods of my own life for that have just felt so dark, and it's hard to get up, to keep going, to keep showing up, to doing the things that you got to do, And like I said, it's something that's this is close to me in my professional life, as I'm daily walking with clients through the darkest season of their lives and trying to help them make sense out of it, get to the bottom of it, and find ways to manage it, or sometimes just survive it. So practically, outside of the things that we always talk about, you know, spiritually, being in the word consistently, despite how you're feeling, practicing prayer. That was one of the things I talked about in the episode when I was by myself a couple weeks ago, about how like cultivating prayer is a practice and not just like when we feel like it, right? Accountability, etc., all of those things spiritually. I mean, you gotta know that I'm gonna recommend therapy, right? I mean, we can't get through an episode probably without me saying that. But seriously, I just want you guys to like don't tune me out just yet. This is something that I can say because it's something that I have done and I still do. If you are out there and you are listening and you are struggling and you have never seriously considered therapy, please do not dismiss this. God has given us knowledge, education, and trained professionals to help us in all areas of life when we don't know what to do or where to turn. One of the things I often say to couples who come in for marriage counseling, if one of them seems like resistant, or as often happens, they're both just like uncomfortable with the process because it's new and different. And seriously, you're about to talk to the stranger about the most personal and hurtful things going on in your marriage. Yikes. What I say to them is that, and because it is awkward, like who am I? This random stranger, right? But what I say to them is that in any other area of your life, you know, plumbing in your house, your vehicles, your physical health, cancer, surgeries, etc., like unless you have some knowledge or experience and you might want to, you know, try to fix it yourself, not the surgeries, huh? But you're going to consult a professional. That's what you do when you don't know what to do. You don't even think twice about it. But when it comes to our psyche and our relationships that are struggling, you're just going to wing it? Come on now. Find yourself a Christian counselor or therapist who not only can offer you some objective, mature perspective and therapeutic tools to help you with coping and growing, but also who guides you in the truth of scripture. I'm honestly just hoping that each time I encourage therapy, it will break down one more brick of that wall of stigma that so many people still have up. I can't tell you how valuable the Christian therapists that I have had in the past and present have been to me in both my walk with the Lord and my personal growth. Listen, even hairdressers need hairdressers, and personal trainers need to go to the gym for themselves. I'm not above receiving the services that I provide. No one is perfect, and we all could use a little help. All right, I'm down off that soapbox now. But I just have to say it. But also, and I know this isn't exactly rocket science, but because one of the biggest things depression does to us is like zaps our energy and our motivation, and we feel like nothing is worth it. We have to actively fight that by doing the things anyway. I mean, this sounds really simplistic, and I don't mean for it to be that way, but it's important to acknowledge our feelings, validate them for yourself, even if no one else does, and that's an important piece. And do the things you know you need to do for yourself, especially when you don't feel like it. Find a close friend or accountability person that you can have. Things like exercise, regular deep breathing, meditation on scripture, memorization of scripture, getting outside, doing something to help others. Doing these things regularly gives us the physical and psychological benefits, even if we don't automatically feel a difference. Sort of like working out or going to the gym, you don't look different all of a sudden, but over time, with discipline, you'll start to feel a difference. Again, I can't stress enough how much I know you don't feel like doing these things. And I'm not saying you have to do it every day, but be realistic. Set yourself some attainable goals, you know, 1 to 2 times a week, do something that you know is good for you, that you know you need to do. Just being consistent with that. That's another reason therapy is helpful. Just throwing that in there, that therapist can be your accountability person because they are going to ask you if you're doing the things, right? So, one last thing that I have is just take a look at your environment. So the spaces that you spend your time in, make those spaces feel good to you. Declutter, burn your favorite candle, open the windows, organize, drink some water, treat yourself to something every now and then, right? All hard things to do when you're depressed. I get it. But making conscious efforts to take control of and better the things that you can while you're waiting for other things to improve is just one small step you can take to get yourself on the right path.
Yeah, all those great, great ideas. And of course, we're going to, you know, pound in the therapy. You know, it is called therapy in ton. But also, if you, I know you mentioned how it can be kind of like awkward when you first start seeing a therapist. And, you know, we did an episode on what to expect when you go to therapy, probably the first season. Look back on that and see. You know, we offered some tips in there. It can be, obviously, can be very
I don't know
awkward.
that I've ever had like a first session with someone that like there was never even like an ounce of awkwardness. Like I mean, because if you really think about it, look, I'm gonna go into this room with this perfect stranger that I've never talked to, and I'm gonna tell them all the things that I'm struggling with. Like the concept of that, if you take a step back from it, is like, that's really weird. Why would you do that? You know, like, and I say that, and a lot of times when I say that to people, they're like, yeah, this it is, it's just weird, especially if they've never done it before. Or, and this is a big thing here in the South, if you're raised in a family who taught you that you don't talk about your problems to others because of like the perception that it will give of our family. That's a big one, like this whole like, well, I'm a private person or we're a private family or whatever, and it's like that is not healthy. And I would say, you know, you need to go tell everyone all of your problems. Obviously you need to be wise about that and seek wise, you know, godly counsel. But yeah, like just as you would seek a people would think that you were crazy if you knew nothing about cars and you're like, well, I think I'm just gonna like YouTube how to do this, you know, like I'm gonna get install this new transmission. Like, no, don't do that. You know, and it's just like, so if you want to make the problem worse, maybe, but like, you know, again, God gives us knowledge and skills, and yeah, it can be very awkward, but I'll just call it like it is and be like, well, I know you don't, especially with all of my teenagers. I'm like, look, I know you don't know me, and I know you probably don't want to be here. And they're usually like, yeah, I really don't. And I'm like, well, thanks for being honest, you know. And but usually, like by the end of it, they're like, yeah, this wasn't so bad, and actually, I kind of feel better now, you know. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I think if you have access to being able to see a therapist and the resources, obviously the money to do it, you know, if you're struggling with, you know, anything, but especially maybe some past trauma, that affects, you know, just learning. Sometimes a therapist, you don't have to go that many times, really. Sometimes you won't. And sometimes a therapist, though, can help you really determine the root cause of something. So instead of just you know, addressing the symptoms, you know, like I feel depressed. Well, let's, or I do something a certain way. And I can say one example was I have a friend that constantly cleans, not like in an OCD manner, but she constantly cleans and makes sure that her children eat are fed on time and that they always have something of nutrition because when she grew up in an environment that was very dirty and she didn't always have something to eat, you know. But she was taking it to an obsessive level to where she was stressing herself out and her kids in turn were kind of, you know, they were feeling that as well. The, you know, and it's just that there were things from her past that were affecting the way that she, you know, her manners today. And by going to a counselor, I believe she went to, you know, a Christian counselor, and she was able to kind of, oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't realize that that's what's causing me to be obsessive about the cleanliness and stuff today. But then it made sense to her, you know.
People that are in our lives are often too close to the problem to be able to help us step outside of ourselves, and we certainly are. I mean, the number of times like I've helped a client discover something like that, like a, you know, pattern or a theme or a connection with like, oh, well, no wonder I feel this way about myself. Like I received these subconscious messages my entire life growing up, and I thought I had rejected them, but you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, it's just a third party who has your best interest in mind, who you know that you can trust and is not going to have their own agenda, which is not something
Absolutely.
that you're going to find like in a family or friend. It's just
Yeah,
not their
absolutely.
nature. So.
We don't want you to feel like, you know, like we said earlier, we don't want you to feel shame that you're depressed. You know, this whole episode is about being depressed.
Yep.
I've been deep depression before, you know, in and out afterwards. And we don't want you to feel any shame about that. We don't want you to think, obviously, that it makes you any less a child of God or less faithful. But we also want you to realize that at some point that it's very normal to go through these, but at some point, if you can't I don't want to say snap yourself out of it, but if you can't come out of it, you know, you can't gradually make positive changes to help you. And whether that's going to a therapist, talking with a friend, you know, getting medicine if needed, reading, you know, whatever it is, reading books that you love, whatever it is to get some joy back into your life and get you out of that funk, then yeah, you need to go. Don't be afraid to go get assistance.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to live that way. I don't want to.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, so friends, we, you know, obviously love for you to tell a friend about us and come back next Wednesday for our next podcast in the season. I think we're still going in faithful yet struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, and follow us on social. You can find us just by searching for Therapy in 10 and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening app. And we hope you have a blessed week. Thank you.